This is
Genatzet Hayer,
a toast to Armenia with Jano Kabinjian. A comprehensive look at the Armenian culture, only on the Ignotainment Media Network.
Genatzet Hayer, Pailuis Inchpesek. Hey, what a great show we had last week, Chris.
It was a wonderful show.
And Bedyan, she's still getting notice from our people out there, and you know, a lot of great stuff that we talked about.
Yeah, she was, you know, has been on some massive shows.
Oh, massive shows, and I tell you the military stuff that she talked about, that was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? One of her movies, on the back of the credits, this is how I found this next gentleman.
Oh, very interesting.
Yeah. Seroj Krajian. I tell you what, folks, this guy's a big time.
Extremely talented.
Extremely talented, and I tell you, he's played symphonies throughout the world. He's played solo for composers such as Tove, Emerson. Seroj Krajian, we are so happy to have you on our show, sir.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Yeah, thank you very much for being on. And, you know, I looked at the background, Chris, of Seroj. It's amazing. At the age of 7, he was playing piano, and you were getting recognized at the age of 7.
I started pretty early. I started my piano studies when I was 5 years old.
Wow.
And 2 years later, I won a national competition for young performers, and that was the start, let's say, an official start of my career as a pianist.
Did you just fall in love with piano the first time you played it?
Not really, actually. It was my parents who made me take piano lessons, and of course I always preferred to play soccer or basketball with my friends of the same age, but I think it came gradually when I started enjoying it about when I was 10 years old, but not before that.
Now, how was it not getting burnt out on playing piano as well? At a young age like that, playing and continuing on, was it difficult?
Well, it takes a lot of patience, of course, especially at that age. To have good teachers is a must, because the teacher has to spark your interest in the instrument and music, especially at that age, or else it can go really wrong, and you don't even want to see the instrument again.
Right.
But I was fortunate that I had the encouragement of my parents and good teachers.
Beautiful. At the age of 14, this is amazing too, Chris. At the age of 14, you received a scholarship to Vienna.
Yes, it was again through a competition, that was my first time to get out of the country, and eventually to Canada, where I completed my studies at the University of Toronto.
Wow.
Now, was it difficult at the age of 14 to leave your family behind and so forth, to just move on your own? That's a young age. I know when I had to go to college at 18 or 19, it was difficult for me to adjust. At age 14, I mean, that's difficult.
It happens with a lot of musicians, actually. You'd be surprised, because the studies start much, much earlier, and any opportunity to perfect them, you actually have to go with it, take it and go with it.
Now, at that age, too, when did you start picking up to where, you know, you were starting to do solo stuff and starting to compose and so forth? Were you just learning at that age of 14, or did you start picking things up on your own and putting music together at that age?
With music, it's always a combination. I mean, you must, if you can, apply educational, what you're learning, with practical, which are concerts, public concerts. They go hand in hand, and they kind of complete each other. So that's what my journey was, applying what I've been learning to the stage, to the playing from the public, and to make it a learning experience, but also an entry into the professional level of things.
Now, what kind of school was that? I know it was music school and so forth, but did they offer other education as well with the music, or was this solely based on music?
It was usually in Europe. It's combined with all types of music, actually, but also sometimes with dance or other art forms like visual media. But in terms of the music education, we had to do not only the solo piano or solo instrument stuff, but also accompanying or chamber music or composition or harmony and theory studies, which prepare you to become an all-around musician.
Beautiful, beautiful. Now, at some point, this is going to sound bad if you're an Odar, if you're not not an Armenian listening to this, but is there any time in this that you're in Vienna and you go, you know what, I'm Armenian, I gotta strive better, I gotta do better than these guys, and so forth? Because I always, when I played football and so forth, there was always something in me that said, you know what, you're Armenian, you gotta get up, you gotta play better, you gotta play harder. Was there anything like that too that pushed you as well?
Of course, because as Armenians, our history, and especially the tragic pages of our history, put a responsibility on the next generations, on us, to make the best out of what we have, what we can do, just to prove that survival or any evil in history which tried to eliminate us has failed. So, and our lives matter actually in this world. That
right.
We matter as a nation, and each one of us as persons.
That's beautiful. And you know what? That's how I felt as well. And I think every Armenian out there that works, even working 9 to 5, they just feel that they have to strive forward. They have to keep doing a little bit better than the other person they're working with.
Absolutely.
Hey, you know, I actually excuse me, I actually have an example here of some music from Seruj from Los Angeles, if you'd like to hear it.
Yeah, why not? Let's Seruj, we're going to play a little bit here.
I'm not sure if you will hear it on your end, but our listeners will hear it, so we'll let you know when it's over.
Put it in there.
Beautiful.
That was great. Did you hear that, Seruj?
I didn't hear it, actually, on my end, but...
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
It was spectacular.
I'm telling you, when you kick back on the plane, wherever you're going, you're going to love putting this in, because that was just excellent stuff, Chris.
Yeah, that was amazing. I could sit here for hours, and... I started to play when I was young also, and I had the exact same experience that Seruj had, where early on, you know, when I was young, it was hard to stay interested in it, but I understand what he's saying. The older that you get, the more, and you know, I wish I would have, you know, I obviously I'm nowhere even in the realm of, you know, an inch of what Seruj is, but the excitement that you, you know, you get from being able to hear others who are amazing, you know, play the piano is just incredible.
Lovely. Thank you.
Yeah. Let me ask you this now. You're also a composer too, right?
Yes.
Do you play everything that you compose, or do you sometimes, or I don't know how many times you do it, but do you let other people play your stuff too and go, oh my God, this is not the way I would have done it, or this is, they're really, you know, or vice versa as well. It could really turn out great too. Do you like to play your stuff as much as compose and just kick back and listen to other people play it as well?
Well, composition for me came later. It was actually in the last 10, 12 years that I've gotten into it. And my entry into composition was first as a Zug Ranger. I arranged about 25 songs of Gomidas, who is the national composer of Armenia. I orchestrated them for soprano and chamber orchestra, and we did a recording of that, which got me a Grammy nomination. And That was my first experience as an arranger, and that developed into composition. I have composed all types of music, from folk music to chamber music to larger orchestral and choral work. And I actually enjoy it very much when others play or perform my composition on stage. And it's almost like seeing your offspring,
gratification,
your son or daughter on stage. You know, it's that type of feeling, because in a way you've given birth to that composition or to that work. So it's a very enjoyable experience to actually see other people perform my music.
It's so true on the versatility, because I got to tell you, I found you on the credits of a movie as well. I said, wow, there's an Armenian, let me, and then boom, I find out all the achievements and so forth. So, and that was one of Anne Bedian's movies that she was in.
Yes.
And I went to the back of the trailer, and it said your name and so forth. The entire music was done by you. That was fabulous.
Yes, that was an amazing experience, actually, and it was new for me. It was the first feature-length movie I've done, and it was very different, of course, because you have to analyze each scene and see and feel the emotions of each scene, and compose music exactly for that scene, and also consult very closely with the director what he wants there, what he doesn't want there. So it was a very, very new and interesting experience for me.
It was very modernized music, too. It probably wasn't the traditional set that you're used to as well. So it was, you know, you are very versatile in that sense as well.
I enjoy doing it, I think, because I'm the type of person who gets bored easily.
Right.
So I have to do different things to keep that energy and the search for new things always in music.
Serge, where was there comes a time when you just say, where was the place that you played that you just said, you know what, I made it. This is the place that many want to be. I made it. I mean, the little smile pops up in your face and say, you know what, I'm playing where not a lot of people play. Did that never happen to you?
I wouldn't say there was only one place. And actually, the type of personality I have, I mean, I've played in many very, what's considered to be important places, like numerous times at Carnegie Hall, in Boston, in Jordan Hall, in L.A., in Europe as well, in many renowned halls. But for me, even the smallest venue, in even the smallest city, I give it as much importance as all the others, because you never know. Sometimes in the smallest place, in the smallest city, the most important person that could affect your career might be sitting in the audience, even if the audience is a 100-member audience. So you never really know what who is in the audience and who's watching you. So I think my direction, or I'm convinced that you have to give all of what you have in every single concert. So in a way, every single concert has felt the way you describe it, regardless of where they are and how big and how important the venue is.
Wow, that's very beautiful. That's beautiful, because there's a lot of times when a person doesn't give that 100%. They feel that, you know what, maybe this isn't the right criteria, or I'm just not. But you're saying every one of these to you are as good as the last one, and you give everything you got for each show as well. That's beautiful.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, I tell you what, you met. This is how lucky this man is on this one, Chris, because Seroj, he met his wife, Isabel Bayrakdarian. Did I say that right?
Yes.
Beautiful. Yes. Now she's a soprano singer, and she's actually worked with you on stage as well.
Yes, actually, the reason we met was the Gummy Dust project, the recording that we did together. And the arrangements were done for her voice and for the type of voice she has. And that's how our personal journey together also started and still continues. We have a lot of recitals, voice and piano recitals together. I compose a lot for her voice. The last work was a cantata for voice and choir and orchestra. So it's amazing in that way to have your partner in life to share
enjoy the same stuff that you enjoy as well. You know, I'll be honest with you, I can't get my wife to sit down and watch one football game with me. So that's how different we are. But that's well rewarded in your life to do what you love to do and have someone there with you that loves the same thing. That's really gratifying.
That is.
I'm very lucky. I feel very lucky.
So what's your plans now? What do you got in the store? What's in the works for you right now?
Well, our next recital together with Isabel is on Sunday in Prince Edward Island, which is one of the tiniest province in Canada. Actually, it's an island, but it's so beautiful. So we're looking forward to that recital. And I'm at the same time, we've just actually completed a recording, a new recording of Armenian sacred music, which I arranged for her voice and for choir. And I'm also working on a new piece, again for her and choir, which is going to be premiered in Canada in November. So totally different project that I'm working on, but that's how and that's what I do, I think, best, when I work on different things and try to multitask musically.
Well, it seems like you've got everything under control on that.
Mostly.
yeah. I have Armenian friends. I have Armenian friends that keep their kids practicing and tutoring in piano. What do you recommend as a parent, the do's and don'ts at a young age like that?
I think you would feel, I mean, each child, of course, has different needs, and each one of us is very different of in what we like, what instrument we like. And usually, parents start with the piano. That's the obvious choice. But they also have to remember that the kids don't have to stay. I mean, they don't have to pursue piano all their lives. I mean, they might choose another instrument or just do it for fun, because that's where their interest ends, and not professionally. But I think music is a great thing for children, even scientifically. You know, they have proven that for brain development and generally for development is a great thing. But there should be balance between persuading them to pursue music and at the same time not be too hard on them.
Exactly.
To leave everything and concentrate on that one thing which might not be the interest that the child has. Yeah. So it should be a joyful experience, but it doesn't only depend on the parent as well. It depends on the choice of the teacher. So parents, I think, have to be very careful noticing what type of relationship the child has with his or her teacher, and vice versa. So those are, I think, the guidelines when you start, when your child starts his piano lessons.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's universal as well, that keep your kid interested, but give her some little leeway to just be a little bit sociable with the other kids as well. And you know, I think you could get the full package then. That's basically what every parent should do with any kid that they're trying to raise in some sort of a musical field or sports. That's so generalized. Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. Saroja, you know, it's been great having you on our show here. So, you know, if there's anything that down the line that you want to promote, if there's anything that you'd like to bring back to the show, you're a friend of the show now. Anytime you need anything, let us know. We'll have you on our show.
Thank you very much, John.
The music is spectacular. I could hear it all day. I just want to let you know that it's amazing.
Thank you very much.
That one that you just played, Chris, is that a CD or anything that our people can look for or buy? Or I'd love to have that one.
Yeah, it was live actually, but I mean,
Where was that played?
It was live in Glendale.
Glendale.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think it was from about a year and a half ago.
One last thing is: do you get more out of playing in front of Armenians like that too? I mean, that's got to feel good as well.
Definitely. I mean, it's a good thing, but also I know that Armenians are very critical, so
I know
sometimes more pressure. But generally, I mean, it's a great thing, especially if you have no idea that that town or that city that you're playing in has even an Armenian community. And then at the end, two or three or one person even approaches and says, you know, I'm Armenian and I felt so proud of your performance. I think that's the greatest feeling. And sometimes it happens in the most remote area when you think, no way. I mean, yeah.
Well, if you
there's no way that there's an Armenian here.
If you ever show up in St. Louis, you'll see Armenians there to welcome you as well.
Thank you,
Seroj. It's been great having you on our show, and good luck with whatever you're going to be doing in the future. And we'll be tuning in to hear from you.
Many, many thanks.
Okay.
Thanks for having me.
Take care. God, Chris, we just had probably one of our biggest musicians on the show.
Oh man, I mean, he's globally, you know, is known all over the world for his, you know, his acumen on the piano. He's amazing.
And he sounds so humble. I love the part that he said, you know what, it doesn't mean just a small venue or something big. I do the same. I give everything I got, the 100% on every show that I put out there, every music I put out. I make sure that people are getting my 100%.
Yeah, it's always, you know, for me, it's always unreal to hear someone who's so accomplished and so talented but is still so humble.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what, folks? It's music time for the kitchen.
Ah, man.
Yeah, absolutely. It's,
we know who that leads up to.
Time for, and you know what? Last week's recipe with that Lefnadjoun, I got my wife to do that.
Ah, was it good?
Me and her, it was a social time to get together, yep. And we did it exactly how she brought it up. So, you know what? Thanks, Mariam. Mariam, it's great to have you on the show. She's ready. Okay, go ahead.
Hi, guys. How are you out there? This is Mariam again.
Hey, Mariam. How are you? Hey, that
good,
recipe.
How are you?
Great. That recipe last week with the Lefnadjoun, I was just telling Chris, it went so good. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you guys liked it. Hopefully you'll make it. Did you make it? Or?
Well, I kind of overlooked it, and I played our...
yeah, he was the supervisor.
I was the supervisor. I was wearing a yellow helmet in the kitchen.
He was the head chef.
I had it going. So what do you got for us this week, Mariam?
Well, this week it's going to be an appetizer, and it's called Savory Crepes, and the name is Blinchi, which is in Russian.
Uh-huh.
And Armenians from Eastern Armenia, or Russian Armenians, will relate to this one because it's very common, and usually we make this during holidays and big events. And Russia has always been part of, you know, the culture has been, Armenians have been influenced by Russian culture. So I go out with a lot of the Russian dishes, and this is one of them.
And this is one of them, huh? Is this more like an appetizer or a dessert type?
It could be dessert, but it's an appetizer.
Okay.
The recipe that I have is an appetizer.
All right. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, it's blinchi, like I said, it's crepe. And it's stuffed with ground beef. And the way that this crepe is done, this is my mom's recipe. I'm pretty sure there are a lot of similar recipes out there. And the recipe is in a book as well. But I like the way she makes it, and I like her recipe, and that's why I include it in a book. It's one of those things that you have to make it over and over. So you get really good at it, and I've never made this before. When I started writing the book, I had to make this a couple of times. Once you get hang of it, it's so easy to make, and it's so easy to have. You can freeze it. You know, my kids love it. I can make it as a breakfast, and I can do it as savory, which is the blinchi. And this is a really good snack. It's a good appetizer.
And you know what? I did see this with the book that you sent us. Chris, you got your book, right?
I do. I'm very excited to have it.
Yeah, and this was one of the recipes that I looked at. It's, you know, here's the thing on this one, Mariam. My mom used to make this with, like, molasses or fig inside of it. That's why I asked about the dessert part, because those were, like half crescent type of... moons with that molasses inside of it. Does that ring a bell at all?
I haven't heard molasses. Well, you know, of course, people eat this with maple syrup, and they put fruit inside with Nutella. That's my kid's favorite, actually. But what my grandmother actually did with this is she had different stuff. Like, after Easter, my mom would make these crepes, and then we would have leftover eggs. So she would make an egg salad, and she would just stuff that with. So it's so versatile. So I've heard a lot of people do a lot of stuff. So yeah,
that's great. And folks, you could definitely find this in her book. It's called Cooking with My Armenian Family, and it was great. I mean, it's not that difficult of pages to understand either. So I mean, everything's really well written. It was great. Thank you again for sending that to us, Mariam.
Well, thank you for the compliment. I appreciate it.
Definitely, definitely. So our big food for this weekend is, what is it again?
Green cheese.
There you got it. There you have it. So
I'm already hungry.
Yeah, you're always hungry, Chris. All right. Thanks again, Mariam, and we will definitely get back with you next week to see what you got for us.
Thank you, guys.
And that was Mariam, our head chef of our show, Chris.
The head chef of Armenia Proud.
And she makes our music at the end of each show. How about that?
Yep, it's amazing.
Well, folks, we've covered it. The time went so fast again. It's unbelievable.
It flew by.
And we will see you guys. Kishir Party, have a great one out there. We'll be in touch with you next week.
Tune in next week for another episode of
Genatset Hayer,
A Toast to Armenia with Jano Kabinjian. You can find the show online at www.armeniaproud.com or download and subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher for Android. This is the Ignotainment Media Network.